Welcome to HealthScope on WMKV and WLHS. Each week at this time, we bring you updates on a different medical topic and open the phone lines for you to join the discussion. Now, HealthScope on 89.3 WMKV, 89.9 WLHS, and online at WMKVFM.org.
And we welcome you to HealthScope here on WMKV and WLHS. Today we're talking about a term that you've probably heard, but maybe have not learned a lot about. We have somebody who is not only an expert in this, but enjoys teaching other people and physicians and everyone about something called integrative medicine. We're going to learn about that today from Dr. Mary Ann Barnes. She is with the Integrative Medicine Department and the Integrative Medicine Office at Westchester Hospital. And we'll give out some phone numbers as we go throughout the program here. But first of all, Dr. Barnes, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are on the faculty at the Center for Integrative Health and Wellness at the University of Cincinnati School of Medicine. You've also written a book. Tell us about your book.
I have written a book. It's called Fat Cells, Beauty, and You. And it's about the mind-body-spirit connection for how to maintain a healthy weight for a lifetime.
Wow. I need to read this book. I think I need this. Once again, you work in an area called integrative medicine. Now, I think, just from my standpoint, and I am not a medical professional by any means. I'm a radio guy. But to me, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this melding, if you will, of this integrative medicine into the formal health spectrum, if you will. For so long, it seemed to me as an outsider that most of the medical profession kind of held certain things at kind of at arm's length. They might acknowledge that maybe there's something there, but you are dealing with different forms of medicine other than the traditional medicine that we think about going to the doctor and just, you know, having a prescription written or something like that. And those have their place. But you are dealing with a lot of different things that some people might call alternative medicines, things like that. But I want to stress as we get into this that these are all evidence-based programs that actually show that there is a medical value to the different things when we talk about integrative medicine. So I just wanted to
get that
out there. Now, tell us, what is integrative medicine then?
Well, you're right about the history. When I went to medical school back in the 80s, integrative medicine didn't exist. It was called alternative medicine. Mm-hmm. You either did the things that the doctors would talk to you about, the medicines, the tests, the surgeries, or you went to people in the medical establishment called quacks. Even chiropractic was considered quackery. And I was taught, don't go to a chiropractor. Don't send your patients to a chiropractor. Over time, as we got more research on the herbals and chiropractic therapies and acupuncture, then they called it complementary medicine. It's something that you use with traditional medicine. Now that we're getting more research, it's called integrative medicine.
Because you're integrating it into the standard medical procedures and practices, and it's becoming more and more part of this. Now, I asked you a question before the program, and I was a little surprised at your answer, because it would seem to me that each new generation of medical student that comes through is probably, to me, it would seem, more accepting of integrative medicine. And you kind of raise your eyebrow a little bit and says, we're still working on that. So this is something that I would imagine it is an acquired, not taste in this case, but an acquired appreciation of what alternative or now integrative medicine is.
That's exactly right. I'm a scientist. I was mm-hmm. born a scientist. And through my training, if you'd have told me I would be doing any of the things I'm doing now, I would have thought you're crazy. Mm. But the people I work with in medical school and residency, they're scientists too. Because we can't explain how acupuncture works exactly, doesn't mean it doesn't work. It's just that we don't have the understanding for how it works.
So there had to be a turning point for you. You were saying that at some point in your life, you would have never thought that you'd be talking about, let's say, acupuncture, massage
right.
therapy, Pilates, things like that, yoga, Tai Chi, reflexology, acupressure, things like that. There has to have been a turning point for you. What was it that convinced you that this was an area that you wanted to not only teach in, but practice in?
When I went to college, I took what my dad called, he was a physicist, he called it Mickey Mouse physics because I didn't like the math. And I knew I was going to go to medical school, so I thought, I don't really need to get into the hard physics. So I didn't understand physics. As soon as I finished my residency training, I got back to reading books. And I read Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever read that?
I've read parts of it. I have to finish it yet, but
well,
I have a great appreciation
yes,
for
it's a
Stephen
small,
Hawking.
It's a small book, yeah. but it is mind-blowing.
Yes.
And I thought, man, I have no idea what's going on in this world with time going backwards in 11 dimensions. And it just opened my mind that maybe there are things that are true that we don't understand.
Yes. And so, but I have a feeling that somewhere along your experience as a doctor,
yes.
that something convinced you that we talked about evidence-based
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of this. There must have been some evidence. Not only did the Hawking book open your mind, but you had to have experienced something, I would think.
Well, it was,
that would say, this is working. This
yes.
is something that works.
I'd have to give the credit then to my patients
mm-hmm.
because many of them were doing integrative modalities, or back then it was called complementary or alternative.
Right.
And as they would talk about the things they were doing, I thought, gosh, you know, there's something in that Stephen Hawking book that could kind of explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what we normally experience. So I got interested and started learning more.
And this is a perfect place for you because to have a hospital, a Westchester Hospital, that has its own integrative medicine office, and you have the integrative medicine department with the University of Cincinnati, this is perfect because 5-10 years ago, we would never have seen anything quite like this, would we have?
No, probably not. But really, the research in integrative medicine was really stalled for many, many decades. And it wasn't until the National Institute of Health, NIH, really mm-hmm. dedicated some money to that we really started getting the research that we needed.
I do want to find out more about the UC specific department, but I want to talk a little bit more about something that you pointed out to me. There was a formation of the Consortium for Academic Health Centers for Integrative Medicine. What is that, number one, and how does it affect how other people are viewing integrative medicine?
The medical schools across the country who are have integrative medicine centers have formed this consortium to work on how to educate medical students who, as I said, were locked in the science where we can't really explain how something works. We just know it does work based on the research that's done. That's the evidence.
And so this organization basically is helping to champion, if you will, or at least have all physicians look at this as an option. We're not saying that this is the only way to go. Again, it's integrative, correct?
Right. Oh, yeah. So I have one foot firmly planted in traditional medicine.
Right.
I still believe in immunizations. Immunizations have changed the world. They really have. You know, I tell patients sometimes they need to have heart surgery, they need to have back surgery. But as they're doing that, think about acupuncture for pain relief. Think about certain herbals to take care of symptoms. It's working one with the other.
And so what was once seen maybe 20, 25 years ago is almost like a black magic or something like that, or as you said, quackery. People are now, the entire medical profession is starting to embrace integrative medicine now as a possibility for people, and it may be complementary. Again, I don't want to mean it in the same way it was years ago, but it could be complementary to a lot of the mainstream medical procedures and treatments now.
I agree. It is complementary.
Right.
So our traditional medicine has done a great job at saving lives.
Yes.
But it doesn't really address the pain and the suffering
and sometimes
those vague
quality
symptoms.
Of life.
Yeah, the vague symptoms people have. Yes. We don't have good medicine for that. Like for pain, I mean, we have medicines that, you know, narcotics that kind of make you brain dead, or, you know, we have the seizure medicines that kind of dull your wit too. But if acupuncture works or certain exercise modalities work, so much the better.
And do you think some patients, because it was not under the umbrella of their regular physician years ago, they did shy away from it? It was seen as like, well, it's not real, or, you know, only certain people will go there, but I'm not going there. But now that it's under the umbrella, are more people accepting when you bring up something like acupuncture or chiropractic, or, you know, even things like Pilates, yoga, things like that?
Yes. Well, you know, we're still early in the research for many things. And we really have to come a lot further in teaching it in medical school. When you go to a doctor, the doctor is going to reach first for the tools that they have in their tool bag. And integrative medicine modalities are not readily accessible or not on the top of the list of what the doctors think about. So frequently, the patients actually have to go to the doctor and say, what do you think about acupuncture? Should I try that for this problem?
Very good. And but people are, I would think, now knowing that this is part of a university program and here with an accredited hospital, that it's not just like you're going to someplace, somebody who just hung a shingle on a house three doors down. You're going to actually to a formal medical facility that is offering these same services and at least offering them as a possibility for treatment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I keep dwelling on that. But to me, this is like life-changing, the fact that it's now under, you know, a formal medical roof with UC Westchester and also with the UC Integrative Medicine Department. Well, if you're just joining us, I'm getting all excited here, but we have Dr. Marianne Barnes. She is on the faculty of the Center for Integrative Health and Wellness at the University of Cincinnati School of Medicine. She's written a book on good sustainable weight for life, which is really good. That's wonderful. We'll talk more about that in the second half of the program as well. But she has, as she said, her one foot firmly planted in traditional medicine. The other foot is planted firmly in the capabilities of what we are calling integrative medicine. And I rattled off some of these before, and I'm sure I'm leaving things out, but I know just within UC and UC Health, they offer things like reflexology, Pilates, nutrition, which is, you can't skip nutrition. I think even the mainstream hardcore medical doctors only without the integrative medicine would not argue with you on nutrition. I don't think they would on that one.
With accumulating evidence, they don't argue with us about much anymore,
okay,
which is
good.
Because it is there really is a lot of research backing what we do.
And has that research really blossomed in the last maybe 10 or 15 years? Has that been one of the big strides here?
Yeah, probably about a little over 15 years ago, NIH, you know, started really funding grants. And that's where all the research came out. And that's why it's now integrative medicine, because it is research-based. We're looking at the evidence and taking the things that work and integrating them into the medical school curriculum and into practice.
And we have Dr. Marianne Barnes, as I said. By the way, if you want more information or would like to find out more about the Integrative Medicine Office at Westchester Hospital, 513-475-9567. And you can find out all kinds of good information at UC Health. And we just love having Deb Teitelbaum and everybody out here with us to talk about things. And this, to me, is exciting because on a regular medical show, to be talking about a lot of the things that we've just named, you wouldn't have expected that years ago when we did this program. By the way, also, if you have a question for Dr. Barnes and you maybe would just have a general question on integrative medicine, you can join us on the show today, 513-772-9658 or 877-772-9658. We'll take your call. The commish, Dave Schramm, is standing by on the phones helping us out here today on HealthScope on WMKV and WLHS. Dr. Barnes, let's talk about who would be an ideal patient to look into integrative medicine. You know, at what point should a patient see an integrative medicine provider?
That's a good question. If you have any questions about what kind of diet or exercise you should be doing, I would go to an integrative medicine provider. Most of the time, and most of the referrals that I get and that we get at the integrative medicine offices are people who are not getting better by doing the things that their doctor is recommending. They've, you know, maybe they have back pain and they've tried the narcotics, they've done physical therapy, you know, they've had the surgery, but they're still having back pain. Mm-hmm. You know, if the tools that the doctor has in their book, their box, if they're not working, then it's time to think about maybe I need a different modality, works in a different way.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there, but I imagine some people finally go to their doctor and say, look, there has to be some other option. And at that point, I think even the most hardcore centered doctor who doesn't necessarily always like looking at integrative medicine would even have to start saying, hey, there are some options here. And once they see the evidence, if that works for that patient, the next time they're probably a little bit more inclined to say, this worked for somebody before. I saw at one point my family doctor was basically he was an osteopath. Thank you.
That was
really his main specialty. And thank you, Deb. But I remember asking him about some of the different herbals and things like that, and he said, "You know what?" He said, 10 years ago, I would never have told anybody to even try this. And I told him I had tried some and it was working for me. And was it okay to keep taking? He's like, if it's working for you, and now I hear from so many of my patients that this particular thing is working. I think it's important for people to be able to trust not only their integrative medicine provider, but also their doctor, and try to open that dialogue. Because I think the medical doctor or the internist or whatever that you may be dealing with, if it's not your integrative medicine provider as well, it really helps them to understand what each one is doing. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes. And back on herbal medicines,
yes.
Really, most of the medicines we have are derived from plants. And that's where we get our medicines. So the herbals work. I mean, they work pharmacologically the same as many of the pills we take. It's just that we need better quality control with the herbals.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you can just go buy things over the counter, whatever, and you don't always know if you're getting, you don't know what the different dosages mean and things like that. So would you see down the road that some of those things will become a little bit more maybe regulated or ways of understanding or better education, I guess, so people know what different herbals are doing?
You know, that would be really nice, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But it would be nice because there have been studies showing that sometimes you buy an herbal and it has absolutely none or very little of the thing that you think you're buying.
So here's then, let's put it this way. If it's not going to get to the point maybe where it would be regulated, the best thing to do is probably to talk to your doctor and or your integrative health specialist and find out from them what you should be looking for.
Yes.
And also, I think with that, because I've had people who I know who have they've taken some new herbal thing because they heard it was the be-all, end-all, and it was going to make your brain bigger and all this stuff, and everything was going to be better. And suddenly they were finding weird little things like their fingers are tingling and you get people can have different reactions. So I think it's very important that any side effects you report almost immediately to your regular doctor and or your integrative health specialist.
That's exactly right, because you can have side effects from herbal medicines. They are medicines.
Mm-hmm. And we also don't always think about if we have a pharmacy where, let's say we have a pharmacy that has all of our prescriptions, we don't think to tell them about the herbals that we're taking or things like that, so that can be kept on the record as well.
Well, that can be a problem because not only can the herbal give you a side effect, but there are also drug-herbal
interactions
yes. which can be bad for you
and so
it
cause really
a lot
is
of problems.
Yeah. So if somebody came, let's say, to you or to an integrative medicine physician, or specialist, they come to you and they say, well, you know, what should I bring when I make that first visit to an integrative health specialist? having a list of medications, I would think, would be immediately one of the things that you would want. Is that correct?
All the medicines you take and herbals.
And vitamins and everything.
And vitamins.
And anything, you know, because a lot of people, they assume, number one, I think you brought up a great point, that we all take the pill. It comes out of the little bottle. We pick it up at the pharmacy or it's mailed to us. And we get that little pill and we put it in our pill minder and we take that pill every day. None of us think about where that comes from. And when you think about things like rainforest, things, there are so many things we could go off on tangents on that. But we don't think about the fact that these came from, in most cases, from plants or synthesized from similar things, to, you know, from plants. And I think the other thing that we all just kind of take for granted is that the over-the-counter things we take don't have any side effects or don't have any interactions. They're over-the-counter. They can't hurt anything. But it really is important to keep track of all that.
It is. It's very important.
Very good. We have open phone lines, 772-9658 or 877-772-9658. And we're going to go to the phones here. Pam has been waiting patiently. Pam, thank you for calling. You are on with Dr. Marianne Barnes from UC Health.
Whoops. Hello, doctor.
Hi,
morning,
Pam.
Morning, afternoon. I'm in California, so I never know how to... Sometimes it's morning, sometimes it's afternoon. It's interesting you're mentioning this and that we're doing having this discussion this morning, because I've had a couple of experiences where I think that when I first heard you mention integrative medicine, I wasn't sure what you were talking about. Now it's crystal clear. Then I've actually had some experiences with this. I fell several years ago and sort of did a number on my spine. It was badly... subluxated, and I'd had trouble, getting my back to stay flat. I also have quite a bit of pain. I went to a lovely orthopedic surgeon, very nice, wonderful person, put me in a brace for a while. I didn't get a lot of relief until I went first to chiropractic, and then started doing Pilates. And now I barely feel anything. And this is over a period of, 30-plus years. But I hardly feel anything in my back. Every now and then I get a little twinge, but it's nothing like it was.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. It really, truly is. And I also take a particular... I guess it's a collagen product. I can't mention the name, but I guess it's a factory-made collagen product out of, or lab-made collagen product out of Canada. And I am sure that because I'm taking that, I still have my left knee. There was a time when I would stand up and I could just feel, and I've been to the doctor and he's seen the x-rays. I've got arthritis in my knees. I've also got a lot of cartilage loss. And there was a time when I would stand up a couple of years ago and I would just feel the knee bones scraping.
That's rough.
I started taking this product, and I still have a little, I've got the arthritis, but I take this and I definitely feel... I'm sure I still have my knee, because we were starting to talk. I did the shots, the rooster combs, et cetera. I only got minimal relief, really. But I'm taking this one, and I wish I could mention the name, but I know I can't.
Right, we probably shouldn't, because we're public radio. But
swear by it, yes. But
it sounds like it's really worked for you. That's wonderful.
It does, and I tell everybody asks me about it, and I've actually had people ask me about it, because Dave, my sweetheart, will say, Pam is taking this, and let her tell you about it. But there is a great, when the doctors and a friend of mine also has a bit of a slight heart issue, and she went to a chiropractor, and he got on the phone with her medical doctor, and he said, "I understand this. We're going to work together. I'm not going to contraband anything you've said. I understand this click that she has, and we're not going to do anything that's going to bother you. And so the two of them occasionally would confer.
That's great. Yes.
Very good.
California's been kind of on the cutting edge as far as integrative medicine, too. I think it was embraced more in California early on than it was in the Midwest where we are.
Well, so the Mark Twain thing is following, where Mark Twain says, if the world ends, I want to be in Ohio because it'll happen there 5 years later.
That's right.
Than everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, well, now this particular friend was actually in New York.
The East Coast, too.
Yep. The first chiropractor I went to when I lived there was there. But some things haven't done me. I didn't get as much out of acupuncture as I thought I might. So everything doesn't work for everybody.
It doesn't.
Exactly, right.
If you try and you have an open mind, I think that's half the battle.
But
the bottle?
There's the battle. But there's no guarantee with anything you do in medicine. You can have back surgery and it may not help. So the same thing's true with acupuncture, Pilates, or any modality you try. You may feel better, worse, or no different, and you just have to figure out what works for you.
Very good.
Oh, yes.
Pam, that's
Pilates has been great with me.
That's wonderful. That's a great story, too.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. There's some more evidence-based right there, it sounds like. Pam, thank you very much for your call from California. 772-9658 or 877-772-9658. You talked about the mind-body connection. And I think this goes with whether you're healing from a surgery or whether you are trying one of the integrative medicine choices. I think what Pam said, keeping an open mind and the mind-body connection, I think having a positive attitude going into things, number one, helps. And I think that sometimes, and I imagine some doctors say, it's only working because they think it's working, or it's psychosomatic or something.
Placebo.
But there is actual evidence that some of these do work for many people. Is that correct?
Yes. That's what integrative medicine's about. It's looking at the things that work, that through science we can show that they work. We've done research on them. And that's why I learned acupuncture, is when I decided to actually do some of the integrative modalities, I picked acupuncture because it had the most evidence for efficacy.
And you have a point there. Sorry. I had to get that one in. 772-9658 or 877-772-9658. We're going to take a quick break here in the program. When we come back, we'll take some more calls. If you'd like to join the conversation with Dr. Marianne Barnes, she is with the UC Integrative Medicine Department and the Integrative Medicine Office at Westchester Hospital. And you can find out more about them at 513-475-9567. I'm learning along with you today that this is just a tremendous wide array of other options that physicians have. We'll be back with your calls and more coming up next on HealthScope on WMKV and WLHS.
The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program or of WMKV Radio, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS Radio, the Lakota Local School District, or its staff or management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice.
We thank you for joining us. It is HealthScope here on WMKV and WLHS, the Maple Knoll Radio Network. Today we are talking about integrative medicine and how it is really it's burgeoning at this point. I think more and more people are accepting integrative medicine as a key part, and it's being integrated into the traditional medicine umbrella, if you will. We have Dr. Marianne Barnes here with us. She is on the faculty of the Center of Integrative Medicine or Integrative Health and Wellness at the University of Cincinnati School of Medicine. She is really, her passion, as you can hear on this program, is teaching and educating people about the benefits and the capabilities of integrative medicine based on evidence. And that's the key thing right here. I was remiss in not also pointing out that not only is there an integrative medicine office at Westchester Hospital, but there is also one on the main campus of University Hospital. And so you can find out more, though, at 513-475-9567. We have Jan, who has been waiting patiently on the phone. Jan, thank you for holding on. You are on with Dr. Marianne Barnes.
Hi, Dr. Barnes. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Jan?
Good. I've been attending school at the Institute of Holistic Health Careers in Columbus, which is a state board certified school, and have certifications in Reiki and reflexology and polarity work, and was wondering how the Institute is working with practitioners that are not doctors, and if you foresee that practitioners like myself will be recognized by the state in the future.
We do have practitioners who are not physicians. We have one acupuncturist who is not an MD or DO, and we do have other people doing yoga, tai chi, who are not physicians. So, yes, there are roles for everybody to participate in this.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Jan, from your standpoint, you must see this as an excellent opportunity in the future. This is a growing area of the health field. Do you feel that way? Is that why you got into this?
Yeah, it is why I got into it. But I have also found it frustrating that you can go through a state-certified school and have certifications, and at the same time, you're not recognized by the state of Ohio as a practitioner.
That is difficult.
Yes.
Right. And I see that what people like myself have to offer is well worthwhile for many people, and some things work better for others. And just like everyone else, I'm working at building my toolbox of what I have to offer people as well. And at the same time, we are a legal conscious society, and you just like to be in line with what is required as much as possible, and to be recognized also, so that what you're offering won't ever have
and
such,
you yes. can help people.
Yes. I mean, you're in this to help people, not just because it's a
you're
burgeoning
in to help
thing.
People but... And to educate people and everything else, and at the same time, in setting up a business and making sure you have everything in place that's necessary, it's also nice to have that recognition that goes along with it from the state. That's all I'm saying.
Very
yes.
good. Well, Jan, thank you for your call today. You brought up a great question, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Dr. Marianne Barnes here with us, and thank you to Jan for the call and to Pam earlier. If you'd like to join the conversation, 772-9658 or 877-772-9658. And Dr. Barnes, we talked about many different areas, and just some. If you go to the UC Health website and you look up integrative medicine and you click on the different types of integrative medicine that are offered, these are just some of the different things. And my question to you is, how does somebody know which one of these might work for them? And we're talking about acupuncture, massage therapy, mindfulness group is another one that's out there, moving for life, nutrition, Pilates, reflexology, tai chi, yoga. How does somebody choose a specialist within one of those areas? Or is there a certain clearing person, if you will, or physician from the integrative medicine area?
Yes, that's a good question. It depends on your level of sophistication about your knowledge about the different services. What I would recommend for most people is to make an appointment with one of the integrative doctors, mm-hmm. because they'll do a thorough assessment through history and physical exam and make recommendations for what they think that you should do, where you should go first. You can make appointments just with the acupuncturist or other, yoga or something like that. But if you're unclear or, want recommendations, go see one of the integrative medicine doctors.
The nice thing about that is when we talk about integrative medicine, it's not just integrative into the standard medical curriculum, if you will, but it is also possible that you can integrate several of the different aspects of integrative medicine into a healing process as well. So the whole idea here is finding the right combination of things or the right individual thing that will help with whatever your condition is, be it pain, be it some other form of malady. Many of these things can help you. Is pain one of the biggest things, though? Is that one of the larger concerns?
It probably is. But I would recommend that everybody think about looking into integrative medicine, whether you think you have a condition or not. Mm-hmm. With meditation, there is evidence now that people who meditate actually grow brain, and it can be used to help prevent dementia.
Wow.
Even if you don't have dementia now, I would recommend meditation. In fact, I recommend meditation for every one of my patients who comes to see me. Because what else will grow brain? Not much else.
Right, right. And we talked even a little bit about things like music therapy and
yes.
all kinds of things. So even though it may not be under one of the tabs, if you go to the UC Health website, there may be other options out there, even within the UC umbrella, that you can find out more about. But Tai Chi and yoga and moving for life is an interesting one. I tell my uncle, who's 89, I said, just keep moving. You got to do it safely, but moving for life. And it's more than just keeping a senior moving, but it's also healthy motion. And I'm sure it involves exercise and things like that.
Exercise so. Really is just as important as meditation.
Mm-hmm.
As we get older, you know, people don't care so much if you say, well, you got to treat your diabetes because otherwise it's going to kill you. What, I think once you're about 45 or 50, people think, well, I'm going to die anyway. You know, it's like, I know I'm going to die. Yes, it'll kill me, but I'm going to die. But you know what? Movement and moving and doing regular exercise actually does keep you from dying young, but it'll help you maintain your independence. And that is key.
And once again, some of this sounds like a brilliant grasp of the obvious to us. And that's one of the things that I'm sure integrative medicine and standard old school medicine, if I could call it that. I'll probably get in trouble from a doctor now. I'm going to have somebody come up and kick me in the shin. But old school medicine versus integrative medicine, what they really, they're not going to argue. These are incredible things. And I think that finding some common ground probably has helped to merge these two areas much more closely together, because again, we come back to the whole thing that it's evidence-based. This isn't just somebody out there conjecturing, saying, you know, acupuncture might just help somebody. There are actually studies that show that acupuncture does help some people.
Yes.
And so the key there is evidence-based, and that is so important, because prior to that, I imagine there just weren't enough studies done. Everybody had a sense that you were getting a benefit maybe from acupuncture or chiropractic or something like that, or reflexology, but there was no proof. There was nothing. And so the medical community, I think, it again, saying what we said before, kind of kept it at arm's length. And now it's kind of falling all under that umbrella.
Well, it really goes back to the research and to have money to do the research.
Yes.
Before NIH developed their Center for Integrative Health, that used to be called NCCAM, National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. Now it's NCCIH, National Center for Complementary Integrative Health. But before they did that, there was really no money to fund the big research projects. People had to do it, you know, on their own. And so often the research that was done was poorly designed and was fraught with all kinds of statistical error. Now that we actually have big grants from NIH, that some of the better quality studies showing that there is good evidence that there, you know, that things really do work, that's being done. So that's really just been in the past 15 years. We still have so far to go.
Exactly. And I think we may, our kids will look back maybe 50 years down the road and say, huh, remember when it used to be this way? Now look at what we understand.
Right.
And just as we can look back and say, wow, we know so much more now. And it is amazing. But the studies and the research really play a big part into this acceptance, if you will, or this melding into the integrative medicine, which is really good. I want to get to some of the specific integrative techniques. But one of the other things, you mentioned exercise, but one of the other things I didn't really get to ask you about was nutrition. We mentioned it a little bit in the first half of the show. But what are your recommendations for nutrition? And if you want to add some more on exercise.
Well, just going back to exercise just for one more moment, that there's a saying out there that sitting is the new smoking.
That's a great point.
Smoking is so bad for you. But you know what? So is sitting. And we sit so much during the day. And for my job, I end up sitting a lot. But really, if you have a job that's a desk job, you should get one of those elevated stations where you can stand at the desk at least and maybe do exercises, you know, while you're doing your work. So find exercise, find ways of exercising and incorporate it into your daily activities.
And I would imagine, yeah, the sedentary lifestyle that so many people are leading, including myself. I mean, this is one of those things that really is the next big battle, quite possibly, in healthcare.
It is.
So now, what about nutrition?
Oh, nutrition. Yes. So nutrition is really kind of interesting. And it, just in my short career as a physician, I've been a physician for over 30 years. I've had to eat crow so many times.
I wonder what the carb value of a crow is.
I don't know. But so I guess you need some burgoo or something with all the roadkill in it.
But what made you have to eat crow?
So, you know, I was taught that everybody should take a multivitamin. And so when I was a young physician, I would tell all my patients to take multivitamins. And then we thought that, you know, that vitamin E would help prevent heart disease and prostate cancer.
And give you better skin and all kinds of things. You would eat all these things.
Yes. And we knew that people who ate lots of fruits and vegetables actually had fewer chronic diseases. So I thought I was doing my patients a favor by telling them to take the multivitamins to get all those vitamins in. And then in the late 1990s, we had studies that showed that if you took vitamin E supplements, that actually it increased your risk of heart disease.
Really? Wow.
And if you took the smokers took vitamin A or beta carotene, it increased their risk of lung cancer.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was pretty shocking. At that point, I told my patients, wait a minute. I know I told you to take these multivitamins, but now, you know, I want you to just eat right. Eat those fruits and vegetables and don't take it unless you have a vitamin deficiency. Then you should take a multivitamin.
And unfortunately for many of us, we don't eat right, so we still take that multivitamin.
Eat right.
Eat right. That's
eat
the
right,
first
George.
Step. Right.
Okay. So really, because it's the vitamins that are in the supplements are not exactly the same chemicals that God put in the fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. We change the vitamin a little bit to make it more bioavailable so you absorb it when you take it. But it's really important just to get it out of nature.
There's so
many other things in the fruits and vegetables that we probably have no clue what their significance is, what they do in the body. So we can't replace the fruits and vegetables into a pill. You're getting so much more. And fiber is one of those funny things that we've really learned the hard way, too. You know, probably there's a lot of minerals and vitamins that are intimately associated with the fiber. So if you take a fiber supplement, you're not getting the other stuff that's in the fruits and vegetables that's really good for you. So for diet, I recommend a Mediterranean diet. I recommend eating fish because there are great studies on eating fish. And then I recommend eating good, healthy oils like olive oil, avocado oil, the omega-3s like fish oil.
Mm-hmm. And so that's at least a good starting point. So if somebody wanted to go out and like Google Mediterranean diet,
yes,
there would be a good chance that they could see a lot of the things that you're talking about there. And again, I share some of your frustration, although I would imagine as a physician that this is even greater, because one day we'll say everything from drinking milk is good for you, then drinking milk is bad for you, then 3 months later, we'll hear another thing that says this is good or bad for you.
It's enough to make your head spin.
It is. So, and again, people often come to the physician and say, well, what do I do? What do I do here? And the physician, again, keeping up on your education and understanding what these different studies are showing, I'd rather have a physician who says, look, we thought this before, but now this, rather than the physician says, oh, just take it. Just take it. Just take it.
No.
Because that tells me maybe they're not updating their research.
Well, you have to understand science is really not about truth. It's about probability. It's kind of philosophical. But, you know, science changes. In my job as a physician is to, when I see my patients for the yearly physical, say, Well, you know, the past year, this is the research that came out, and this is how it applies to you. So I know I told you to do that, but now I'm saying do this because we have new research.
And it's no different. Well, I guess it's a little different, but it's similar to sitting down with a financial advisor because the world changes from 6 months to 6 months. And if you have maybe a small, you know, 401k or something like that, and you want to reestablish the balance in it, the world changes and the same thing happens. Our understanding right. of nutrients, our understanding of exercise and physical activity, all of that changes from year to year. We understand more about things. And as you said, sometimes something that was seen as beneficial 5 years ago, now you say, well, it still has some benefit, but it might be better to get it in a different fashion
right.
than taking that multivitamin or something like that.
Right.
So, now, if really, somebody's listening to us, don't just stop your multivitamin if your doctor told you to do that, but talk to your physician about
right.
some of these options.
Well, and we don't have very much vitamin deficiency right now in the
right.
United States, fortunately. But I'm concerned that that's going to increase with all the obesity surgeries that are happening because the people who've had gastric bypass and surgeries like that may end up being vitamin deficient. So they should really follow up with their doctors and make sure, you know, whether they should take vitamins or not.
Very interesting conversation here today with Dr. Mary Ann Barnes. She is talking to us today about integrative medicine. She is with the UC Integrative Medicine Department. They have offices on the main campus. Also, they have an office at the Westchester Hospital. Dr. Barnes is really, as we said, her passion is teaching and helping to enlighten people about the benefits of integrative medicine. Could I run down a few of the different integrative medicine things? And maybe for those people who either may have just heard of it and don't really know much about it, maybe you could just address each one of these. And again, we're not saying any of these is for everybody, but some of these may be treatments for an individual. So
sure.
acupuncture is one that's come up. Even Pam said, well, it didn't quite work for me, but it obviously works for some people. What do we know more about acupuncture than when we first heard it as a punchline of a joke maybe 15 or 20 years ago?
Oh, my gosh. There's so much that we know about acupuncture now. Actually, it was interesting because with Pam, I got my training at UCLA for acupuncture. That was one of the three course sites that I had available. But acupuncture is ancient medicine. It actually evolved from medicine from India, from the Ayurvedic medicine. And as that medicine moved east to China, it developed its own sort of paradigm of health and disease. The acupuncture points, there are many, many points, 381 named points and a myriad of other points that are not named. The acupuncture points are actually the same points that people with fibromyalgia, where they hurt. And they're the same points that osteopaths have, the Chapman points. So these are points that people in different paradigms have found.
And so acupuncture. And then you hear things like acupressure. Is that similar? It just doesn't use the I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
Is acupressure similar to acupuncture then?
Yes. Acupressure is another way of stimulating those points.
Mm-hmm.
You can stimulate them with laser. You can stimulate it with pressure. You can stimulate it with a needle. You can stimulate it with heat. Sometimes we'll use a moxa stick, which is like a cigar source, to stimulate the points.
Interesting.
So, yeah, but if you look at the evidence in acupuncture, really, the best evidence is with electroacupuncture, where you have the needles, but you also connect up the needles to a battery generator. And that was studied by the French, actually, the French Jesuits, about 100 years ago. And electroacupuncture works much more quickly than just traditional acupuncture.
So there's a small electrical current of some kind
yes,
there?
Yes, it is a little battery generator.
So this is different, though, from having like electrical stimulation like for a knee pain or a joint pain
it
or
is,
something.
Yeah.
This is different from that, though.
It is different. It's getting the electrical impulse directly into the point, the mm-hmm. acupuncture point, and or into the pain that the person's having.
Wow.
So most of the acupuncture I do is actually electroacupuncture. in ancient Chinese medicine, they said that I Ching text said it took 10 to 12 treatments in order to have a lasting effect with acupuncture.
Is it painful?
Yeah, well, it's not comfortable.
Okay.
But
the long term. But the trade-off is that you're helping another area of the body, correct?
Right. But if you do electroacupuncture, it takes less than half of that.
Uh-huh.
So it's much more efficacious for your patients. So most of the acupuncture I do is electroacupuncture.
Wow. Jan mentioned reflexology as well. Is that similar? Does that all kind of play into the same area for the layperson like me?
Yes. And, you know, we don't have many studies on reflexology. So the jury is still, the evidence is still kind of out. We just don't have the evidence yet. But it is kind of amazing that, you know, there are ear points that can affect your foot or affect your chest, or their foot points or hand points. And, you know, it is kind of amazing. So
oh, it's all interrelated.
Yeah,
and you
is.
Can see why some people who are steeped in strict research might have in the past said, we don't understand how this works, therefore we're not going to give credence to it. But we're finding out that it does work. And as we find out, eventually we will understand how that works, I would imagine.
Yes, yes. I remember when I first started learning acupuncture, I was acupuncturing this guy for heel pain. He had some plantar fasciitis. And he said, well, what does this mean? Is there some other meaning to it? And I said, well, I'm not really sure. Let me get out my foot reflexology model. And I looked, and it said sex gland. And,
wow.
and I said, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but that's what it says. And he said, well, that's interesting. He said, because my PSA is elevated.
Wow.
And he ended up having prostate cancer. Isn't that weird?
Interesting. Interesting. You do find out. What about Tai Chi, yoga, things like this that, again, were called New Age, alternative, now are being called integrative medicine?
Yes. Those are movement therapies. That also can give you the meditation aspect that we talked about earlier. Meditation is not about emptying your mind. It's about focusing your mind. We live in a world that's very distracting and has so much going on. But with yoga and Tai Chi, there are great studies showing fewer falls. I think we talked about falls earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And actually improved gait in the elderly after strokes. So, you know, the evidence is starting to come out. We don't know all the places that it's going to provide benefit, but it is a way of kind of double dipping, get your exercise and your meditation all in one fell swoop.
Wow, that's neat. And Pam even brought up Pilates. Pilates, yet another motion.
It is.
Alternative here. What happens in Pilates for those people who have never done them?
Pilates is really about flexibility and strengthening at the same time. And again, it's about the focus too, the meditative aspect mm-hmm. of it. So it's just one more of those movement modalities.
Fantastic. And there are many others here. Massage therapy. I think, you know, people just think of, I just get a massage. But there can be a therapeutic. It's not just all just a relaxing thing, although that's a good thing for people. But how does massage therapy come into play here?
Well, massage therapy actually is a relaxation sort of technique, but also they can actually work on the acupuncture points
mm-hmm.
and actually move qi, that thing that we don't know really how to describe in Western medicine. Qi is the life force or vitality that flows through the body and energizes and enlivens it. So by working on knots in the back or in the shoulders, you're actually improving the flow of qi.
Incredible. It's good stuff. And even Shakespeare wrote about massage therapy.
He did.
There's the rub.
Oh, sorry. That's funny.
I had to get one in. Like, anyway.
But I fell for that hook, line, and
sorry.
Sinker.
Yes, you did. Like, we have Dr. Marianne Barnes here with us. And Dr. Barnes, in the final moments, for somebody who is thinking about this, what would you say to the person, whether they are a physician, as an educator here, and whether they're a physician who is saying, hey, you know, she's made some really good points here, or to a patient who wants to speak to their physician about integrative medicine, what message could you leave us here in the final moments of the show?
Well, everybody has room to improve their health, and diet, exercise, and meditation are key. But, you know, if you have symptoms and we don't have the right tools in our toolbox, your doctor doesn't have the right tools, think about going to an integrative medicine doctor, because they may be able to help you find your way and find ways to improve your health. Everybody has aches and pains. Mm-hmm. That's just part of being a human. But you don't have to suffer so much with it. So think about that, especially if you have an ache and pain. And probably I would go to acupuncture or do some movement therapies instead of taking narcotics or taking medicines that'll make you brain dead.
Gotcha. And once again, in the final moments, where would you like to see integrative medicine within the next, let's say, 10, 15 years?
I think it needs to be better taught in medical school. We've made some great strides. The evidence that's accumulating has really empowered and impassioned a lot of the educators in the academic centers, as we talked about with the consortium. But we really need to teach physicians more about these things, and the evidence will actually push them toward it. And really, the patients who have pain, we don't have great answers for them if you look at just what we're taught in medical school. And we really need to educate the physicians to think about acupuncture, think about Tai Chi, think about yoga, think about mindfulness, as you see in those patients that just don't get better with the things that you do.
Very good. Dr. Mary Ann Barnes, thank you for being here with us on HealthScope today.
Well, thank you.
We greatly appreciate it. Thank you to UC Health and Deb Teitelbaum. And once again, if you want to find out more about the UC Integrative Medicine Department, either on the main campus or at Westchester Hospital, again, the Integrative Medicine offices are available. You can find out more at 513-475-9567. And I forgot to write down UC Health. .com, UCHealth.com. Thank you. And that will also allow you to search and poke around, not in an acupuncture way, but you can poke around and find out a lot more about all the offerings from UC Health. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Dr. Barnes and to Deb Teitelbaum. Thank you for joining us here on HealthScope on WMKV and WLHS.
You've been listening to HealthScope on WMKV and WLHS, and streaming around the world at WMKVFM.org. Join us each week at this time for a discussion of the latest in medical technology issues and topics on 89.3 WMKV, 89.9 WLHS, and online at WMKVFM.org.